KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, everyone likes a courtroom drama. I hope, you know, some of my favorite movies are courtroom dramas. And today, author G.S. Jerry joins us. He's an author of Trust on Trial, a novel that we're going to walk through some of that. But first, let me introduce you to our guest, G.S. Jerry. Jerry, thanks for taking the time to bring us up to speed today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's a privilege to be on. I always love getting on these shows and podcasts and radio and just, you know, talking about the book and about God. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we will talk about the book. You know, what I hope our listeners take from today is encouragement when they're dealing with trials and trust wanes and or ebbs and flows. And we'll discuss some of that before we jump into the novel, into the book and information on that, Jerry. Let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Jerry. I mean, you and I off the air talked a little bit about your time in the Navy and then, you know, after that. But you're a Christian author and actually I'll let you address that, if not right away, later. You know, C.S. Lewis said, we don't need more Christian books. We need more Christians writing books. And, you know, there's a whole thing to that as well. But tell us a little bit about Jerry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you said, my name is G.S. Jerry. I'm an author. I also have six kids. Ages 19 to 2. And, you know, I kind of just fell into this writing thing, if I'm being honest. Like, I was the kid who watched movies to do book reports when I was little, right? Like, I didn't have time to read books. I want to go outside and play with my friends. I played a lot of sports. And so, like, super coincidental, my dad owned a bookbindery business. So I don't know if you know what that is. But essentially, like, all your books have to get bound together. So if you have a paperback or hardcover, right, there's glue on the spine. So there's actually machines that do that. And so my dad did that. That was his business. And I hated it. Like, I didn't want anything to do with him. Like, Dad, like, I want to be outside playing sports. Funny enough, now I'm on the other side where I'm writing the book. So, like, I feel like it's like a circular kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I feel like God's blessed me with doing this for sure. Like, it's totally a God thing that I'm even writing books, that I specifically even wrote this book. And then the real, just the message behind it, just with all the different things that we go through throughout our lives. Even when I was writing this book, I write specific issues that we deal with when we're having trust problems or trust issues. And it boils down to, like, let's say 7 to 10 kind of things that happen to you throughout your life. One of those actually happened to me when we had our sixth kid and she was in the hospital. And so no tougher place to be when you're completely not able to do anything, right? Like, you're essentially like, hey, I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. Like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. Like, I just have to sit here and just wait on the Lord.
Yeah. As a parent, I feel some of what you're talking about. I haven't experienced everything you've experienced in this area. As far as trust in the book, Trust on Trial, which, by the way, I'm sure you'll find everywhere you look for your books, audio as well, Jerry?
They aren't yet, but they did say they could do an audio book. Okay. So I just got to find someone to read it.
Okay. But everywhere you go looking for books, and when it comes to the topic of trust in the novel, is it trust in those around you, trust in the Lord? What's dealt with in the novel?
So it's kind of all those wrapped into one. And so everybody has trust issues, right? I don't think there's a person that I know that doesn't have them. I have my own trust issues. And so that's really what I wanted to explore, is trust issues in general. And I was like, how can I do this? Like, what's a fun way to do this? And so I was like thinking around with the idea, and I was like, what if I literally put trust on trial? So trust in the book is actually literally placed on trial. It's personified. His name is Ernest Trust, and he's accused of fraud and breach of contract. So anybody that's had their trust broken, misplaced their trust, right? And you have all these sayings that come from that, like, hey, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, all those sorts of things. And so we really get this jaded perspective of how we interact with people and like, hey, well, this person did this to me, so now I can't trust anybody. And so my focus on the book is actually to say, hey, it's about where you've been placing your trust. You're placing it in flawed people, flawed systems, flawed institutions, where you should be placing it in the right place. And it's not in a person, place, or thing, but it's actually in God, right? Because God isn't flawed. He is the only perfect one. So once you identify that, hey, like, yes, I have a trust issue. Everybody has trust issues. And this can manifest itself in all these different ways. And it's because I've been placing my trust in the wrong things. And so I'll use testimony for the prosecution. I'll bring up historical artifacts. Like I talk about Bernie Madoff. One of the witnesses says, hey, you know, I invested all my money. He stole all my money. You know, trust is guilty. Look what he did to me. Like, because I trusted him, they broke the contract, or they committed fraud by saying, hey, you can trust Bernie Madoff. And so there's all those things like, hey, people will remember Bernie Madoff because it was such a huge thing. But then there also be different things like, hey, dad loses his daughter to cancer, right? So, hey, I put my trust in the Lord. I prayed, you know, I did everything I could and it didn't matter. And she still passed away. So like my faith is shaken. And so when there's these trials that come our way, when our trust gets broken and there's nothing we can do, like, what are you going to do? And so my hope is that people read the testimonies, they see all the evidence presented and see, yes, absolutely, I have been misplacing my trust. Whether that's, hey, I've been trusting in people or institutions, or maybe I've never even trusted a God. Maybe I need to think about if I should put my trust in him. And then on the flip side, if you're a believer, I would hope that you would see this and see like, hey, when the Bible tells us to have faith, the word that they use for faith is also the same word that they use for trust in a lot of places. And it's also the same word they use for confidence. And so whenever we come to know Jesus, we believe him, we trust him, right? How much of what you're doing, how much of your life are you trusting with, entrusting to him? Is it just like, oh yeah, I trust in God, but I'm gonna keep my finances close. I'm not gonna really tithe what I should be tithing, right? And so it's a good test to see how much do you trust God. Like, hey, I'm not gonna tithe this amount because what if I need it? Or hey, like, I'm super healthy, I don't need to talk to God about that. Like, I got it. So how much control do you really think you have? And instead of like, hey, I'm gonna give my everything to Jesus because he deserves it and I can trust him.
Well, I have to imagine as you were writing this and had drafts or just, you know, even when the book's complete, that you're sharing with friends and family, maybe. but any testimonial about someone who may be close to you who went through the novel and really applied some of the thoughts that you put into essentially was what was an intentional allegorical novel, correct?
It was, yeah. So like I thought the courtroom would be fun. My other books, I kind of try to make them experiences. So I was like, hey, I haven't done a courtroom yet. Why don't we try that? And so then I can engage with the reader in a different way and actually say, hey, not only you're going to read this courtroom drama, but you're going to be a juror. And so on my website, once you get to a specific part in the book, you can actually cast a verdict if trust is guilty or not guilty. And then you can read the subsequent chapter based on how you vote. And so I thought that was a fun way to engage with the reader and just really make them part of like, hey, this experience is for you. It's not just, you know, just a book to read.
Very good. So I have to imagine that as you went through this and actually with the notes I was looking at preparing for the interview, there's a lot of, you know, these reflections on trust, not only just reflections, but biblical reflections on trust, really drawing from stories like Joseph, David, Job, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Jesus's teachings. Are those specifically found throughout the novel?
They are. So like for the prosecution, right, they're going to say, hey, trust is guilty. Look at how many times it's betrayed us. It's committed fraud. It's breached his contract. And so I'll take it all the way back with them to start with, you know, the apple from Eden, right? Satan tempted Eve. And she bit the apple, right? And so look how trust was broken in that moment. Like, see, we can't trust anything because look what's happened. Then I'll bring up, you know, Judas betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and be like, hey, if Jesus's own disciple can't be trusted, like what hope do the rest of us have? And so the prosecution paints this, you know, picture that trust is this way, but then the defense is going to get their chance. And so that's where Job comes in And so rather than basically retell Job, I'll actually pull from, hey, a guy was in a hurricane and he lost everything. His house got destroyed. Every year there's hurricane season. Like there were some bad ones last year, the mudslides in North Carolina, things like that. And the guy loses everything, but his faith doesn't waver. You know, he questions God, like, hey, like, why is this happening? But just like Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And so I try to use those real world examples, but also tie the scripture in to basically show, like, hey, yes, there's real world scenarios, but there's also biblical evidence here. And then further, I'll actually pull historical artifacts, like archaeological evidence, to show, like, not only is the Bible just some story, right? It's actually factually accurate. Like, there's plenty of validity behind it. And when I talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I talk about the furnaces, how there's bricks with King Nebuchadnezzar's name that they've found that's all in different museums across the world, and just show, right, like, hey, there's more to this than meets the eye. Maybe some people don't even realize that. So, hey, if you're like never believed in God and then you run across this story and you start seeing that there's actual historical artifacts to back up what the Bible's saying, hey, maybe that might sway your opinion.
All right, listen, if you just tuned in, we're in the midst of a conversation with G.S. Jerry. The website's gsjerry.com. He mentioned, as you read through the book, even some ways to connect the website with what you're going through as you read through Trust on Trial. We're going to take a quick break. Jerry, can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. Enjoying a conversation with G.S. Jerry. We're calling him Jerry, and we appreciate, Jerry, you taking the time to visit with us about your latest novel, Trust on Trial. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. So, yeah, thank you again.
Well, you know, a lot of what we have been talking about is, pretty serious stuff. With every good story, you know, even in Shakespeare's tragedies, there was always an element, you know, of comedy. A Trust on Trial is really no exception. You've even included a little bit of that as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like laughter, humor is just such a good avenue to connect with people. Like, some of the best movies are comedies, and like, who doesn't like to laugh? So if I can weave elements of humor in there, like, it's just another way to engage with the reader. It doesn't always have to be serious. Like, even the prosecution in the book will bring up the Greek word for trust and then try to pronounce it and then mispronounces it and is like, oh, it's just pistachios. Like, this is just a mixed bag of pistachios. And so, like, it's just another way to say, like, hey, like, this is a serious topic, but we can also have fun with it as well.
Now, as with any project like this, by the way, how long did it take you from, you know, basically from maybe the first kernel of a thought of the book to having it in print?
So the idea kind of started back in June of last year. And so I was doing a discipleship program at church. And the first week they're like, hey, I want you to write your testimony. And I was like, oh, like, my testimony is like kind of boring, right? Like, my mom took me to church. I've been in church for a long time. You know, I found Jesus at a long time. He's like, nope, it's not boring. Like, it's important. You're going to write it. And so I started writing it. And then I start to identify, like, hey, like, I have a trust issue. I know that's like shocking, like, who has trust issues, right? But like, we all have trust issues. And then I started putting the pieces together and say, hey, not only do I have trust issues, but this has affected my walk with the Lord, and even has led to some kind of faith issues, not really trusting everything that I have in my own life to God. And so it got me thinking, like, I wonder how many other people have this same problem and don't even realize it, or they do and they just, you know, choose to like bury it. And so this is June, I write it, and the idea starts to brew. And then I actually didn't start writing it until November last year. So then from November to March, so about 4 months it took to write it.
Well, often people say we're God guides, God provides, not just financially, but ways to work through, and we know some people, Jerry, I mean, and maybe with some of your other books, they didn't come together that quick. I mean, that to me, that sounds fairly quick. Would you agree?
Yeah, I've heard that I write the books pretty quickly. Like, I think the first one I wrote was like 3 months. The other one was like 5 months. So,
wow.
I don't know. I feel like I have the idea and I just keep rolling with it. And, you know, what do they say? You know, be close to the data. And so I actually write the first draft of the book on my phone, which probably a lot of people think that's crazy, but like I'm on my phone a lot for work. But it just helps me to like, you know, access it whenever I need to. And so we go on walks, the kids bring up some story or they say some crazy thing. I'm like, oh, that would be like perfect for a character. So I'll like write a little note about like how this would be a funny character name. And then I start like building the idea in my head. So yeah, I mean, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Yeah, I'd say that's probably pretty quick. Maybe compared to some other authors, but I feel like the process works for me.
Now, you know, for those of us who are familiar with, you know, pretty familiar with scripture, it's not a new statement to us to hear. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's right. Neither is questioning faith. And, you know, one of the newest terms going around out there, Jerry, is deconstruction of faith. And, you know, whether someone's listening who's going through that, or someone's listening who has someone in their circle of influence that's going through that, is this something you think would be helpful as they walk through that? I mean, I would think that trust has to be a big part of this whole deconstruction movement.
It is, and you know, I think this could the focus of the book kind of serves two audiences. So you have the believers, which, hey, you believe in Jesus, that's amazing, right? But how much are you trusting in God, right? Is it only like, hey, I go to church on Sundays and I hold everything tight, close to the vest, and I'm really trusting God? That's the one aspect. The other aspect is to the non-believer that's like, hey, I don't believe in God, and there's all these reasons why. And some of it could boil down to, hey, I trusted so-and-so. I trusted a parent. They didn't show up to my game. If I can't trust my parents, how can I trust God if he's supposed to be my father and my own father wasn't there? And so I try to almost use it as a mirror, kind of the witness testimonies and the evidence to kind of break down the walls like that and say like, hey, I see myself here. I see myself there. Wow, maybe I do have a trust issue, and maybe it's because I'm misplacing my trust and it should be placed in the right place. And so, yeah, I mean, the whole idea is really that people should, one, identify that they have trust issues, and then two, examine where the areas of their life that they could trust God more.
We're visiting with GS Jerry. And Jerry, before we put a bow on our conversation about your latest novel, Trust on Trial, anything else you'd like the reader to know about this project?
Yeah, I would. So as I wrote this book, you know, I've been talking about how the book is almost like a mirror, kind of like a challenge to, you know, anybody who reads it. And I did write it for everybody else, but, you know, God has a funny way of, you know, just showing up in the most random ways. And, you know, this book ended up being written for me. So one of the witness testimonies is a dad who loses his child. And the child's like 7 years old, and she passes away of cancer. And so the dad's like, I can't trust God. You know, I prayed to him, my church prayed with him, and, you know, we still lost her. And so like, my trust is broken my faith is broken because my trust has been broken. And so I was like, hey, there's probably a lot of people that have lost their children, and that causes them to have faith issues. And so I finished this book in March, and then our sixth daughter is born. Our sixth child is born March 11th, so maybe 2 weeks after I finish it. We have her, everything's fine. And then the next day, we have to call the ambulance and rush her to the emergency room. Come to find out, she has a undiagnosed congenital heart defect, and she's going to need like 4 or 5 open heart surgeries. And so I'm like, in the midst of my own trust on trial, right? Like, I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. And all I know that I can do is that I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to trust that God has a plan. And so, you know, she's in the hospital. She goes from one hospital, and they're like, hey, there's nothing more we can do for her. We need to send her to another hospital. So she gets helicopter transported to another hospital, and then she's there for another 4 weeks. So her name was Melody. She passed away May 2nd, and she was in the hospital for 7 weeks. So I don't think it's any coincidence that I write this, and I talk about trust being on trial. This guy loses his daughter in the book. I lose my daughter in real life, and it's literally 7 years, 7 weeks. And long story short, right, like, even though I wrote this book for others, like, ultimately I felt like God was like, you're writing this for you, because it just is so powerful. And I ended up going through probably the most difficult thing I've ever had to go through in my life, but I still saw God's goodness in so many different aspects and in so many different ways throughout the whole thing.
Well, as I listen to you tell that story, Jerry, I mean, I can't imagine, I can't imagine it at all. It's unnatural for a parent to lose a child, for their child to go to heaven before they do. And that, you know, just so, I didn't realize it was that recent that had happened. Jerry, how can our listeners who pray lift you and your family up as you walk through this?
I mean, you could just, you know, pray for my family. My wife has a big family too, so we have a really good support system, but just, you know, pray for peace and comfort through the season. Like I was saying before, you know, I've really seen God's goodness through this all. I actually got to do a guest post just for Father's Day about, how do we trust God through suffering? And so I focused on Psalm 34:8, which is, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And so whenever you read that, you're like, oh, David, he's probably coming from like a place like he overthrew Goliath, or he overthrew one of Israel's enemies. But he's actually on the run from King Saul and goes to the king of Gath and has to act like an insane person just to basically stay safe. And God protects him through that. And so, like, just knowing, like, hey, even though you're going through difficulties and trials, like, God's still good. He's still sovereign. He's still in control. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like God's given me a great peace about it. But there's always difficult days and tough times when you think about the baby and stuff. But yeah, peace for sure.
Well, we appreciate the energy you put into this Trust on Trial. It's good to hear, hopefully, that the book itself has blessed you and your family. We pray that it'll not only entertain, but equip others to deal with the issue of trust. Trust on Trial is the novel by G.S. Jerry. He's been our guest. And Jerry, absolutely appreciate your transparency, the time you've given us to know more, not only about the novel Trust on Trial, which, by the way, find out more at G.S. Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, by the way, gsjerry.com. Thanks for your time, and we'll look forward to hopefully hearing from you again.
Yeah, I would love to come back. So yeah, thanks again for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hope you have a blessed day.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.